Okay, we're here on November the 20th, 2007, and we're in the home of Reuben L. Wilson at 417 West Bethel Road in Hopewell. And we're
tomorrow's my birthday.
Tomorrow's your birthday.
Happy birthday.
And your birthday was
Saturday.
So there we are, we have birthdays going. We're interviewing Juanita Barfnick-Strong, Marlene Titi. Marlene Smith Titi, who were residents around Coppell and been here and have some remembrances of the history. So we're just going to ask you some things to reminisce about for the Coppell Historical Society. So that's what we're going to do. Why don't we start with you, Juanita? Tell us about your family, who your mother was and your father, and where did they live? When did you come to Coppell? That sort of thing.
Well, let's see. My mother's name was Anna, and my daddy's name was Willie. He died when I was 6 years old.
Oh.
I was born in a house on, starts with an S now. You remember where the beer joints were?
Mm-hmm. Sandy Lake.
Hurst.
There's Hurst Road.
Yeah, that light is bothering.
Hurst Road and Lodge Road.
Right, Hurst Road. Now,
Hurst.
I was born down to the left going east. There was only that one house. That belonged to the Barfnick family,
mm-hmm.
Who lived over in Benton County. And then when my father died, we moved in with my grandfather, who was Otto Sassy, is at the end of
this was in Coppell.
No, this is outside of Coppell, going toward Carroll.
But it was on Old Highway 77.
Oh, it was on Sandy Lake, but it was Highway 77. Anyway, we moved in there, in with him, and we lived there until he passed away. And then my mother bought the house next door here, and that was in 1943.
So she moved here when your father died?
Yes.
Moved here, 43.
When my grandfather died.
When your grandfather
died.
And so they moved here. And did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes. I had a brother named Ralph, and my sister's name was Viola, and we called her Martha. Her middle name was Martha.
So did your mother and father and the three of you live in the house next door here?
No, my father died when I was six. He died in the house where I was born.
Okay. So it was just your mother?
My mother and I moved here, and Ralph was in the service. He got out after the war, 1945, but then he married and lived in Irving. And so anyway, my mother lived here until 76, I believe, and moved in with my sister. So that's how.
And when did she pass away?
My mother died in May 1st. 1980. She would have been 80 years old.
And when you talk about living on Hertz Road now runs north and south. Goes this direction.
Right.
Runs across Sandy Lake, you know.
Right.
And
that was just an old muddy road.
What Hertz was?
At that end. After it got to Sandy Lake, it was just gravel and dirt.
Well, you know, for a while it disappeared. You couldn't go north on Hertz Road, past Sandy Lake Road.
Is that?
Then after they developed it, then they opened it.
Well, you could go down to that, my dad's house.
Okay. And so if you were going north on Hertz Road over Sandy Lake Road, which is Highway 77.
Just right. About a eighth of a mile, I guess.
Eighth of a mile.
Just right down the hill.
And was he on the east or the west side?
On the east side.
East side. So he was
the west was nothing but trees.
So he was on the right hand side as you were going north. And did that road go on through to the river?
You could get there if it didn't flood, but it always stayed flooded down that way. You could go around to where Tinsley's nursery was, if you know where that was.
Yeah. And that was the Denton Creek.
Denton Creek.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you something, since we're on this subject. It seems to me that at one time, I don't know if this was back when you were little or what, but it seems to me that if you wanted to go to Louisville from here and go over Denton Creek and go to Louisville mm-hmm. out there, you went about where Hertz Road was or where some other road, instead of going up where Denton Tap is now.
No,
is that when you were little?
Went up Denton Tap.
Okay, so even when you were little,
uh-huh.
You went the same road that's Denton Tap now and a bridge there.
And a bridge.
Because I've always heard that before that bridge was built, it was a little bit east of that, and you made a jog right there.
We didn't make a jog. It was straight. Do you make a jog now?
Not on Denton Tap.
Yeah.
But somebody has suggested that you turned earlier than Denton Tap, more to the east, and went down that one. There was a different bridge down there, but you don't remember
which,
that.
No, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bartnick family owned the land on the other side of Denton Creek.
Okay.
On Denton Tap. That mm-hmm. was Highway 77. Uh-huh. It went to Denton.
Because it came up along Sandy Lake, turned
right,
and went up there.
At Midway, which is the crossroads of
Sandy
Lake and
Denton Tap.
Denton Tap.
Now, so in other words, if you wanted to leave your childhood home and go to Denton or Louisville,
mm-hmm.
you would come back to Sandy Lake or 77
mm-hmm.
and come
mm-hmm.
and then go west
mm-hmm.
and turn right and go to Denton just like you do now.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Ottingers lived,
right.
You know, their land was next to ours.
Uh-huh. And that would have been as early, what would be your earliest remembrance? What year? You were born when?
27.
So that could be somewhere in the 1930s you'd be living there?
Well, my dad died when I was 6, and then I think we lived there maybe another year or two. But I remember very well that house.
So somewhere in the mid-30s you
mm-hmm.
moved away. You remember what happened to the house?
Yeah, they moved it down toward, I don't know what that location is now. You remember the nursery on Sandy Lake?
Mm-hmm.
They moved it down there. Where Hudnall's had a dairy farm.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that?
I've heard of it.
Okay,
just
they moved it down
to Carrollton,
there.
Closer to Carrollton.
And it stayed there for a long time.
Right. Now, tell me about Sandy Lake Road then. Did you go to Carrollton on Sandy Lake Road or 77?
Most of the time, let's see. Yeah, when we moved here, we went Beltline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we went that way,
mm-hmm.
Sandy Lake Road to Carrollton.
Right. And do you remember, there's a swimming pool down there called Sandy Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Was it there? How, you remember it being there a lot?
When I was a teenager, I think they put that in there.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we assume that they changed Highway 77 when the Stemmons went in.
Right.
Is that your understanding?
That's correct.
Because there's still...
When 35,
Because there's still Denton Road, and that was Denton Road.
Mm-hmm.
So you moved here, your mother and you moved here,
mm-hmm.
and I guess what, when you got married, is that when you left here?
No. After I graduated in 1945, I think I lived here about a year, and we rode with Clifton and what's the brother's name? Clifton and
Tyler
Harrison.
Tyler's what?
Their dad carried Marlene and I and several others to Dallas, and we worked in Dallas.
Right. And you lived there?
I lived here.
Oh,
with
you
my
lived
mother.
Here over here for a year.
For about a year, and then I moved to Dallas.
Uh-huh. So, somewhere in 45, okay?
In 46.
46? About the time you moved here.
Yeah.
Now, Tell us about your mother before we talk about Marlene. Tell us about your mother.
You got a lot to tell about her.
Tell us about your mother. Like, I remember your mother because I grew up here and she lived next door.
Right.
But she was living alone there.
She thought you were the one.
And,
living in.
And so I remember from that. I remember she went to church down what's now Round Grove, that building.
Right.
Tell us anything about your mother. What was unusual about your mother?
She was good as gold. She never remarried, but she sent all three of us kids through school, working on the farms, well, which I did too. But bless her heart, she did well. She made our clothes and everything, and sent my sister Martha, sent her through drone secretarial, is that what it is? School, which, you know, it cost.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a college, but anyway.
I know how to say it.
Yeah.
I think it was Drons, wasn't it?
Yeah, Drons.
D-R-A-U-G-H-O-N. And then she did sewing, partly for a living. Then she worked at voting event. The Coppell School up here.
Being an election.
Just made money, you know, here and there, doing things.
She worked for Hager Packard.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Really?
I forgot about that.
Tell us about that.
Oh, she went up there, and then one summer, she got me to go in there and touch her. Well, they gave me the hardest job of making men's pants.
Ooh.
I had to put the fly in here, and that is tedious. And I did enough, anyway, it upset her, but she couldn't say anything, you know, because they'd fire her, too. But anyway, one day I cut my finger right there. There's a scar right there. And of course, it bled like crazy, and they took me to the place where they had a nurse. Anyway, she opened that up and poured something in there, and I nearly hit the ceiling. Gosh. So anyway, after that, I quit. That was enough.
And where was this in Dallas?
Yeah, Hager on
Lemon
Avenue.
Oh. Now, before I forget it, did you go to school in Coppell?
All 7 years.
So you went to school to Coppell for 7 years.
Yeah.
Then did you go somewhere else?
Carrollton.
You graduated from Carrollton.
It was called DeWitt Perry then, but we called it Carrollton High School.
And tell us about when you went to Coppell. Where was the school building that you went to?
The one that burned.
Pinkerton.
Pinkerton, is that what it is?
Well, that's what it's called now, Pinkerton. Yeah. We just called it Coppell School.
Yeah.
So you started, what, first grade there? Who was your teacher? Do you remember?
Spradling.
I wasn't there in the first
grade.
Oh,
was that Spradling?
Spradling. Okay. And what other teachers do you remember?
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Fuller. We loved him to death, but he beat us up.
He wouldn't have been allowed today.
And, gosh, I want to say Mrs. Gould.
Gould was one of them, and Alma Brown.
That's the second grade. Yeah. But Mr. Fuller used to keep a red stick. If he broke one, there was another one. But he would send us older ones out near the railroad track to play baseball during recess. Well, we couldn't hear the bell ring. It was, you know, all the time we knew it was for us to go back. We saw everybody was gone. Well, if we were late getting back, we lined up in front, and he hit every one of us on the leg with that stick.
Now, Marlene, you went to school here, too.
Yeah.
I started in the second grade.
Okay. I'm going to ask you about your family, too.
Okay.
But you were in school, so, with Juanita in the same grade.
We lived when she lived with her grandfather, I lived on the farm next to them.
Okay, now so go ahead and tell me about that.
Okay.
So that was down also on what's now Hertz Road.
No.
No.
Sandy Lake.
Oh, you were on Moore Road, not Hertz.
No, we're on Sandy Lake where Moore Road runs into Sandy Lake.
All right, so Moore Road instead of Hertz Road.
So I was born on Hertz Road.
So what are you saying? So who was on Moore? You were on Moore?
No. Well, none of us were.
Yeah. Moore and Hertz run parallel.
They didn't have
that. Moore and Hertz Road run parallel.
Yeah. Well, I was born on Hertz Road. Moved to my grandfather's place.
No, I'm not.
Where Moore Road runs into.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, that Dr. Calhoun's wife built a big mansion, bought our property, and told my dad. Anyway, and Marlene, Elsie.
Yeah.
What was Elsie's last name?
Elsie.
Lived there right across from the honky tonk, from the.
Shot and Elsie's all I remember.
No, Elsie, I got a. Well, anyway, and Marlene, I lived here with my grandfather. This is still Sandy Lake. I lived here, and she lived across a creek there. And there was a little road that ran down, just a dirt road about that wide that ran straight between us. That road ran into my great-grandfather's house. And I used to walk down there and take food to him and stuff. But anyway, Marlene and I would meet at the fence where this little road was.
We'd call out to each other and come.
Yeah.
And how did you get to school in those days?
Bus. Did you walk or bus?
Carrollton.
Oh, we came up here to this school.
Pinkerton.
Yeah.
But when you were going to Coppell, did it have a bus?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
No.
We rode Carrollton, Mr. Gravely.
I thought he said when we were going to Coppell.
Yeah, I was.
We did.
So
they came and picked us up.
But when we went to Coppell to school, we rode the bus.
There was no bus in Coppell.
So it was a Carrollton.
We rode Gravely. He led us all.
That's right. We rode the Carrollton bus. That's right.
So it was coming out here to pick up high school students.
Right.
And grade.
Now, you said 7 years. You just went to 7 grades?
Yeah, just 7 grades.
Really?
We didn't
go. The year that we finished the 7th grade was the year they added on the grade.
Really? We'd never heard that. I didn't know that.
And everybody was...
No.
Yeah, it was.
They added it on after we graduated.
That's right.
After you left?
I graduated from high school.
Really?
No, at grad school.
No, because we only went...
11 years.
We went 11 years, but they added... Well, maybe she's on it.
So Coppell School was only 7th grade.
Yeah.
When you went
when
there.
When we went there.
Right there. Now,
was that
over here at Pinkerton?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
but that other
do you now what year would that be, Marlene? When you left? When you
1941.
1941, and the building didn't burn until what 40?
Oh, after we graduated high school.
I don't remember what year it was. I remember it burning.
Yeah, it was after we were.
Yeah.
Now, what memories do you have of the school building? Anything?
Which one? This one.
This one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know we had races run around the building. Helen Pearson beat me, and that just killed me.
We jumped a rope.
In
the wintertime, we would sit on that old concrete floor and play jacks. Yeah.
And we climbed out of the girls' restroom window.
Through the window.
Just for fun?
Yeah, we're waiting on the bus at Carrollton to come pick us up, though. Nobody was out there. We climbed out the window. And I remember the plays. Marlene beat me singing. God Bless America.
So it was a competition?
Yeah.
Tell it comes.
Oh, I do. Oh, tell them about the party you had, the, what do you call it, an all-night party?
Slumber party.
Slumber party, yeah. Oh, the next day.
Oh, God.
You don't remember?
No, that was the year we graduated from grade school, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, the next day, of course, we didn't get any sleep. And gosh, the next day we were sleeping, and Marlene and I went into the auditorium, and I got down. Is that pit still there? In the maybe it's not even
the piano was in that pit.
Piano was
there
down
was a
pit in the
auditorium. Uh-huh. Really?
And the piano. Yeah. That's where
the piano was there.
Oh, now see, you're telling me things I didn't know. Now, see, I started school there, but of course it was rebuilt.
Yeah.
And the auditorium was still there, and the stage. And I'm told by Barbara Lee that it's the same. It was the same stage. It was all concrete.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no pit.
No pit.
I don't remember that stage being concrete.
I don't mean it was wood.
It burned. It was wood.
Really. When they rebuilt it, it was concrete. The stage floor was concrete.
No, it was wood
when we were there. It was wood.
So they must have filled that pit in.
Yeah.
I got down and there was kind of a little seat around there, concrete seat. The pit was made out of concrete.
Uh-huh.
And I was down there laying there in the corner, sound asleep.
I do remember that now.
Boy, Mr. Fuller came with that stick, man, and he
it was just about as big around as your little finger.
Dang. Anyway, that was a real occasion, I'll tell you.
Okay, so did you, when you left Coppell, when you finished the seventh grade, did you have any kind of ceremony?
The head of graduation.
Graduation.
Yeah.
And it was called from elementary school.
Middle
school.
Coppell Elementary.
Yeah. Yeah.
There wasn't any middle school.
Yeah. No.
Mm-hmm. It was just that cross.
So yeah. Then
my
you went.
Lived in that house.
Yeah.
Then you went to Carrollton for 4 years.
4 years.
4 years. And graduated from there the same year, both of you together.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason you two know each other is because you lived close to each other and went to school together.
Right.
Right. Now, Marlene, tell me about your family. Where did they come from, your mother and father?
They came from Denton County, and up around Sanger and Crum, and up in there, up north, a little north of Denton. And actually, we moved down to Louisville and lived there for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And then my daddy sort of started, he was a farmer, and he started a dairy and had a pretty good little size herd started up, and then the Depression hit. I was born in 28, by the way, and the Depression hit, and, you know, they had to kill a lot of the cows. Well, he sold his cows before they had to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
He did what?
He sold them before
they
had to be killed, and probably didn't get, I don't remember him saying, no, I'm sure he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
We never did live like he got very much. But
tell me about it.
But then we went back up to Denton County and lived with his daddy. And we lived up there a year or two, and I went to a one-room schoolhouse up there. That was very interesting.
Yeah.
I get to tell when I go to special days for my, I don't have any grandkids that little anymore, but when I used to go to special days with them to school, I would be the only grandmother there that had ever ridden a horse to school.
Oh, no.
But my grandpa would take me on the horse sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and was this from one room schoolhouse in Denton?
No, it was in a little place called Hawkeye.
Oh, really?
It was between Crum and Bolivar.
And you lived
and
there?
And that's all there was that schoolhouse there.
And so then you lived there with your family.
Mm-hmm.
Until?
I was in the second grade. So that's
when you moved here?
Yeah, and I moved down here, and I started, I think it was about the first of the year. And evidently the curriculum wasn't up to snuff in Hawkeye. And I remember you told me one time, I don't know whether you remember this or not, that Miss Brown said that she thought she was going to have to put me back in the first grade.
See, they double promoted you from the first grade to the second. If you
and
she told you,
she told you that, and you told me, I don't know when. I remember. I'll never forget it though. But evidently, I smartened up, or I caught on quickly, and I didn't have to go back. And see, I wouldn't have got to be with you all those years.
That's right.
So now, you moved here, and that would be what year?
35, I guess.
Uh-huh. And where did you, and you live close?
We live next door to them.
On a farm?
Yeah. My Uncle Johnny Ratliff You remember Florence mm-hmm. and John Ratliff
yeah.
that lived up here? Okay.
Yeah.
They owned the farm,
mm-hmm.
and Daddy rented the farm from them.
Uh-huh.
And
they
raised sweet potatoes more than anything else.
Really?
And cactus.
And
cactus. No, not cactus. What were those stinging nettles?
Yes.
Stinging nettles.
Yeah. The things that, bull nettles.
We used to eat the seeds.
Oh,
well, it was real sandy on
yeah.
their property. It wasn't
yeah.
on ours.
Yeah.
And
oh, they will sting.
Now, did you have any brothers and sisters?
I had three brothers.
Okay.
I'm the oldest.
Uh-huh.
And I had Eldon and Lane and Charles Ray.
And they, when they moved away, they got married?
Yeah, they got married, moved away. Actually, all of my brothers are dead but one.
Uh-huh.
I'm the oldest, and my youngest brother is still alive.
Uh-huh.
Lane, neither one of them lived very long. One was 58 and one was 43.
Uh-huh.
They both had heart attacks.
Uh-huh. Okay, so tell us when you got married.
I got married September 6, 1946.
And then you moved, where did you live?
Charles and I lived.
Right on the corner here.
Right over there. And Mr. and Miss Plumley's house. We rented two rooms of that house of the Plumley's.
So right here across,
uh-huh.
right here. The
big
house.
In fact, they had our wedding shower in this room.
In this room?
In this room.
So that was when you weren't living here.
No,
right?
what was their name?
Ledbetter?
No, Ledbetter didn't live here.
I used to know.
I don't remember anybody remembering
that. I thought
the
only people who lived here before you were Ledbetter. They built the house.
Ledbetter. Oh, okay. Well, maybe it was then. I didn't realize it. They lived here. Whoever built the house lived here.
Uh-huh.
I had forgotten. It was
wedding shower in this room.
In this room.
How about that before you moved here?
Uh-huh.
Now, so you lived in two rooms in what we call the Plumley House.
Yeah.
Which would be on now South Coppell Road.
Right.
Not far down there.
I guess right here where her mother
right
is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. next to it. Next to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you had children. How many children?
We have three children.
Okay, tell us their names.
Steve and Sam and Sarah.
Okay, now I knew Steve and Sam.
Yeah.
Stevie and Sammy.
Yeah.
I didn't know Sarah that well, but Janice, my sister.
She and Janice are about the same age.
Janice was telling me last night she
mm-hmm.
remembered. Sarah, she couldn't remember her name.
Yeah.
But Sarah.
Uh-huh.
Because we went to church at Louisville.
Right.
So the way my mother and our family knew you was more through church,
right.
wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I met them because I lived up here where that, I thought it used to be Minyard's, but there's a restaurant there where our old house used to be, isn't there?
Yes, probably.
On that corner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I couldn't read the name of it.
Heartache Cafe, the new barbecue place.
Okay.
But right that corner,
where that's
Freeport
where the,
now.
That's where we live.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Well, you moved from there to back behind Woods.
No, we moved from back behind Woods to there.
There,
mm-hmm.
okay.
So
actually, we lived down here.
You lived in the two rooms in the Plumley House.
Yeah, Charles and I did.
Then you moved where?
We moved, you know where the Lancaster place is?
No.
I don't know who owns that now.
No, you lived there first.
What street?
I know, but this is Charles and I he's talking about. Not
y'all,
my mother
y'all
and
lived over there?
Yeah.
Is the
also, uh-huh,
where we had the slumber party?
Yeah, not in that same house, but in a house on that place.
Is that over on what used to be Fleet Road or?
Mm-mm.
No.
I don't know what that street is. The Lehmans used to live over there.
I don't remember the name.
You know where the Grace House is?
Uh-huh.
Well, you go down just a little bit, and if you were headed north, you would turn to your left.
Okay, that's used to be Fleet.
Okay.
Yeah, Sandy Lake, but it used to be Fleet.
No.
It's the fourth week.
Oak Grove now.
Okay.
Oak Grove.
Okay, I guess
something like that, yeah.
Anyway.
So it was on the west side of Cobell Road down there.
Yeah.
Okay, opposite to where the Grace house is on the other side. Uh-huh.
Well, it wasn't on that side. No, it was a good ways around there.
Around there.
And you made a couple of curves, and it would run back in the Sweet Road.
Okay.
As it curved around in there. I don't know what's in there now. I've been there years.
Right. And then when you moved from there?
We moved from there, and let's see. We moved in, we lived in Great Bend. We moved around a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
We, by that time we had a child.
Uh-huh.
Steve was born. And then we lived in Grapevine a little while. And then we lived in this little house up here by the park entrance.
Yes. Now, see, let me tell you something about that. I must have been very young.
Yeah.
But I can remember being on the back porch of that house.
Yeah.
That's all I remember.
Uh-huh.
With Steve. At least Steve.
Well, Sammy was an infant there.
Infant. And I don't remember anything but that.
Uh-huh.
But I remember that. It was a big old house up there on the corner.
Now, that was
Harrison's house.
That was Mama's house, I bet.
This was the house at the park.
Oh, was it?
Uh-huh.
And the Harrisons lived there.
Oh, we did have a house. We did have a porch, now that I think about it.
A back porch or something.
Yeah.
A spring den or something. And I just barely remember
that.
Now I'm interested in that because of Grapevine Springs.
Okay.
Do you know who lived there? Whose house was that originally?
It belonged to Emmett Gentry.
Emmett Gentry?
Emmett Gentry, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Emmett used to live across the street here.
No,
Emmett used to live on the other side of my mother.
Okay.
There was a Gentry that lived across the street, though.
That was E.C. Gentry, wasn't it?
No.
That's Ernest.
Ernest Gentry.
Jess was the old bachelor that lived with the people that lived across. Jess, and her name was Loney and Floyd. Floyd Gentry was. They owned the house,
they owned the house.
They had one daughter, Mildred.
Uh-huh.
They had another child, but she died.
And that was their house.
Yes.
But then later you lived in. So that was.
No, I lived in the house across the street from them.
Okay.
And that house, if I'm not mistaken, I can't tell you this, I can't positively tell you this, but Uncle Ab, Mrs. Teedy's brother, Uncle Ab, Charles' mother, Uncle Ab, lived in that house.
Okay.
Boy, I don't remember.
And his mother, they lived in there, and he owned it. He sold it to Gentry's.
Now, when you were living in that house by the park,
uh-huh.
What approximate years was that?
What year?
Yeah. Let's see.
Sammy was born in 49, and we were living there then.
Mm-hmm.
So it was probably from 47, and we lived there till he was two, till 51.
51.
Mm-hmm.
And do you just by chance remember what happened to the house, or...
You know, I don't.
Yeah. I know it disappeared. So
yeah, there used to be a well there.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it was not a working well.
Yeah.
And it had the most rickety thing around it you ever saw. Too rickety for two little kids to be playing around it. And Charles got a great big heavy, best I remember it was zinc. It's probably worth a fortune now if you could find it. And put over that.
Uh-huh.
And he left the thing, he put the thing back up and made it stand up as good as he could, because he didn't want them playing around it, or, you know, you could have fallen in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
After you moved away in 51 or something, where did you move in?
We moved into Louisville.
Okay. And you lived there for a long time, right?
We did. We lived in that house 11 years, and then we moved out in the country, and then we moved into town. And we lived 33 years in that house in town.
And what was the address in Louisville where you lived 30?
260 Crestwood Circle.
Is the house still there?
It's still there. It's
still there.
We built it.
Oh, did you?
And it's still there. Mm-hmm.
Now, tell us about church. When did you meet my parents?
Well, I went to church in Grapevine when her mother and dad moved down here.
Mm-hmm.
And... Were you with Gwilis when away when they first moved?
He was in the service.
Right. I saw that. Mm-hmm. And I met James before, knew James, because he went to school with us.
Yeah.
And he went to Carrollton.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I guess graduated.
James.
Yeah. He did. He graduated from Carrollton.
James who?
Her younger brother, James Harlan.
James Harlan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I remember.
He was a black from the family.
I thought he was older than
still.
He was a character.
He was a character.
Every family has a few.
So you met through church, and the family.
Because
she went to church at Great Run for a while. Then they started going to Louisville. And then you went to Louisville. About the same time, you think?
I don't guess it was too much difference, was it?
No, I don't think
so. Charles' family had gone to church at Louisville. You know, originally.
But he was an elder, wasn't he?
He was a deacon.
Deacon.
At the same time your dad was.
See, I remember.
He and Weavis were deacons at the same time.
See, I remember your mother and father vaguely.
My mother-in-law and father-in-law.
Yeah.
Oh, my mother, maybe you probably remember them too. Now, do you remember that my mother had the telephone switchboard?
Yeah, I do.
Now, where did she live?
They lived in that house down there on the corner. Where
I don't remember that, but...
And part of the time right over here in the gentry house.
But when the telephone operator was over here, the woman's name was Bradshaw.
Uh-huh.
The woman I remember.
Yeah. Well, but they moved from there to Carrollton.
Okay.
Bradshaw.
But I've always
My mother.
I've always heard that the first telephone operator was in that house on the corner of what's now Freeport.
That's right.
In Bethel, right?
And I think I sent you a telephone directory years ago.
And we have it in our archives with your name on it.
That's good. I want my mother's name on it.
I think I did. Whatever you want. And but see, someday we're going to have a museum or something.
Well, see, that's the reason I wanted you to have that. Mm-hmm. Because my children will not
see.
Just let the answer machine get it.
I can't imagine who that is calling.
Is Shane here?
Janice lives across the way.
Oh, it rings there, too?
No.
Listen, do you know about C.C. Thorne? And should I mention it by my mother? C.C. passed away last night.
I didn't know. She won't remember who he is.
Okay.
I don't remember him.
Well,
he
went to church.
Thorne.
Yeah.
I'll tell her after.
Okay, and the funeral is
tomorrow. Oh, they do that all the time. And I never
she doesn't answer calls that are unavailable. That's a good idea.
Well, if it's unavailable, I don't answer.
But, you know,
I don't answer it either.
I have to answer sometimes because some of the calls I get from Sammy have Texas call, and Charles Rail call me, and they say New Mexico.
And they don't live in New Mexico.
No, they don't.
Well, I got a call a few minutes ago at home on my cell phone, and it was a salesman. I said, how did you get this number? You know, but anyway, because that costs money. You don't call on the cell phone. But anyway, all right, now let's don't lose track here. Let's see.
Okay.
Now, so you moved around, you lived in Louisville and so forth. Your husband, where did you meet your husband?
At church.
At church. In Great Bend?
In Great Bend.
Great Bend.
They used, you know, these 2-week gospel meetings we used to have.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They used to come over there to church.
Were they going to Louisville?
Yeah.
And they came over there.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's great. And now my memory is fuzzy about the Teedy family. Like I say, I remember an older couple who, well, I guess they were older to me.
Yeah, I know.
Which must have been your
mother-in-law
and father-in-law. Mm-hmm. And they were at Louisville, but then... Then I remember, of course, Homer in Virginia. And they went to church with us, some here and some there. And then there was, the Teddy's lived here between here and Louisville.
His mother and daddy lived between here and Louisville.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So Homer's mother and father were,
Charles and Homer were brothers. Charles and Homer were brothers. There's Olin and Manford, there's Manford and Ina May and Olin and Homer and Charles and Bennett. There were 6 of them.
Mm-hmm. And that's the kids?
Of Herman and Eddie.
Herman, that's the name of it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And they're the ones who went to church at Louisville. and would come to Grapevine.
Uh-huh. Eddie's father was one of the men who helped start that congregation in
Louisville. You know, many years later, and I have an interest in all this, I went to the deed records of Louisville and looked up that church property, and I was always fascinated by that building because it didn't look like a Church of Christ. Church of Christ looked very plain. And you remember it had those huge columns?
Where was it?
I was right there on Main Street. And on Milton, right on Milton. And I looked up the deed records, and it used to be a Christian church.
I didn't know.
And that's why it was originally designed. Remember it had that huge ceiling?
I did.
And the ceiling fans and those huge windows that went up. And you'll never see a church house like that anywhere. And I looked that up and wondered, because, of course, the Christian church and the Church of Christ used to be the same, but they split.
Right.
So, but that's how it got different. It was different. And I went there, and we went there until I was 11 or 12.
Until they had the
church. Until they built the church here. Actually, the church was built here a year or two before we started here. Miss Ledbetter, they called her old Lady Ledbetter.
Oh, uh-huh.
She started the church and then left it.
I did. Who could forget her?
What do you remember about Miss Ledbetter?
Oh, she was very opinionated.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's just the Ledbetter down
here.
John
Ledbetter.
Yeah.
John and, I don't know what her name is.
Oh, Mary Lou.
Well, Mary Lou was her daughter.
Yeah, and I've forgotten what that boy is. What was that boy's name?
He was John Lewis.
John Lewis.
John.
And his father was John.
I always felt sorry for those kids.
Let me tell you a story about them. I know this is not my story, but Mary Lou gave me piano lessons. Oh, God, for years and years. Never charged anything. She wasn't a very good teacher, but she could really play. You know, they were very musical.
Yeah, she was.
Could play every musical instrument.
And she had a pretty voice.
Oh, she did. But, you know, she stayed in that house, and her mother wouldn't let her out. And there's a story that my uncle, Dub, what they were thinking about getting married or something, and she wouldn't let them get married. But anyway, many years later, it's only been a few years ago, maybe four or five now, I tried to track her down. And I knew that John Lewis and his father's still alive, they live in Fort Worth. They were always Fort Worth people. We were Dallas people. I mean, when you had to go up to Chicago, you went to Dallas, you went to Fort Worth. We went to Dallas. But they were Fort Worth people, and they lived in Fort Worth when they lived here. And after the old lady died. And Mama somehow had his address or something, and so I contacted him. And I said, I want to contact Mary Lou. Mary Lou had defied her mother many years later, and Mary moved off to Mississippi or somewhere and had kids and lived kind of isolated. I got the idea it's kind of out in the country, kind of hillbilly-like, I don't know. But anyway, and I wrote her a very long letter. And he gave me her address. I wrote her a very long letter, and I said, remember me, and we used to do this, and da-da-da, da-da-da, and I just wrote on and on and on and on, and told her about what was going on in Coffeyville and everything, and I didn't hear from her. And later, I talked to John Lewis on the phone. No, I got a letter from John Lewis, and he said, I wanted you to know that Mary Lou got your letter about 2 days before she passed away.
Oh,
she was bedridden. She had, I don't remember, something like Parkinson's or Hodgkin's or something, and she died. But he said she read my letter and remembered me and passed away right after reading the letter. And he said they never reconciled with her mother, ever for getting married.
Yeah.
Now, she did with her father.
Yeah.
But because he was much more, tolerant. He just sort of went along.
I don't think he had much choice.
Oh, he didn't have much choice. And see, I'd go down to that house. They said that was the name of that house was the Connaughton House. Have you ever heard that? That old, still down there, you know.
Yeah.
Where they lived when I was a kid.
Well, my mother visited down there a lot.
She's
got a picture of her.
But I lived
there for rap, you know, in front of the house.
Really? Yeah. Well, I was down there every Saturday. And I'd go down there on Saturday mornings for a piano lesson and end up staying most of the day.
Uh-huh.
Because Mary Lou's, it was fascinating in that house.
Well,
she had a printer and a recorder that didn't even nobody else had. She could make recordings and records, and she made newspapers. And, you know, wherever they went to church, they couldn't stay anywhere very long because her mother would make such trouble. But they'd start new congregations, just like they did the one here.
Mm-hmm.
And they would print things. I remember this cold night. I couldn't have been more than 10. And she said, "Do you want to go with me? We're going to work on something." And we went to this church building, which must have been it was just a plain building. Didn't even look like a church. And it was out somewhere, maybe out around Flower Mound or somewhere out in there. It was cold, and I remember it was just her and her mother, and they went in there and they had this machine, and what they were doing is taking Bibles and cutting up scriptures, and then they would paste them in, and they made a book out of that, kind of a commentary on the Bible. I still have a copy of it somewhere. And I remember it was today it would be like a Xerox machine,
mm-hmm.
but in those days, who knows what the thing was.
Mm-hmm.
And they had things like that all over mm-hmm. that house. Remember the house, you could hardly sit down in it.
Oh, I know.
And it was junky, and they had mm-hmm. millions of pieces of music and
mm-hmm.
musical instruments, and it was dark. And I'd love to go in that house today and see what it looks like.
Tim Connaughton, there, the man and his family that lived in that Connaughton, he used to call that little boy Ice Cream Pants.
I don't remember.
Isn't that tacky?
Did he go to school with you?
Yeah.
He went to school.
They own some movie theaters in Dallas, I think.
Oh, really?
I'm almost sure of that.
And you think did they build that house yet?
I think they did.
Because it's pretty fancy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get any of the Hodge girls, Betty Jo Hodge, or any of that?
No, but the Hodges, of course, were around when I was in school. Beverly, and then there was the...
I don't know that. See, the girls I'm talking about were our age.
Betty. Okay.
Betty Jo.
What was
yeah.
her name?
Hodge.
Betty
Jo and Wanda.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were, what was his name? Albert Hodge.
Yeah.
And Albert and married the Plumley's daughter, one of the Plumley girls.
Mm-hmm. And they lived down there on... the entrance
across from
the park.
From the Ledbetter.
Right, across from the big house.
Yeah.
It stayed there for a long time.
It burned, didn't it? No. I don't know.
The development there now.
Yeah.
But I remember the Hodges. Yeah, I remember.
Uh-huh.
I remember okay. He was around.
Those girls might to tell you something, and they're mm-hmm. connected with the Plumleys and
yeah.
family.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
See, we still have Zelma Plumley.
Yeah.
We don't know. I guess it's just gone. I don't know. But Zelma Plumley's still alive, and we've interviewed her several times. I think she lives in Grapevine or somewhere.
Yes.
I don't know. And the Plumley's, Chick Welch is
uh-huh.
still around. And so some of those people are still around.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we digress. Okay, well, let's see. You, okay, so you, what can you... Can you tell me anything about life in Coppell? What did you, when you were kids, going to school here, living in Coppell, what did you do for fun?
We rode bicycles. We learned to ride without handlebars.
Uh-huh. Without handlebars.
Well,
without holding to the handlebar.
Uh-huh. We rode up and down here, a million miles.
Oh, I bet we did too.
Uh-huh.
And you could ride up and down, and you weren't afraid of the traffic, and you weren't afraid of somebody bothering you.
Yeah.
And we'd stay out till dark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And did you ever travel? Did your family ever go on vacation? Or?
No, mine didn't.
Mine went to relatives out at Rawls, Texas a lot. It'd take all day to get there.
Really?
But we never...
Did you ever go into Dallas or Fort Worth?
Yeah, I did, but not
yeah.
very often.
Fort Worth, we'd go to Montgomery Ward. In Dallas, we'd go to S.H. Kress, those places. Is that a bird?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We'd go to Denton more than Dallas or Fort Worth, because we had family up there.
Uh-huh.
Well, we did most of our shopping in Louisville.
Okay. So if you had to buy groceries, did you go to
Louisville? When I was little.
What kind of store was it that you went to? Was it on Main Street?
Yeah.
What was it? Salmon?
North End.
Salmon's or something.
Salmon and B&B and Crawford.
Crawford.
Crawford, yeah.
And Salmon went to church with it.
Right.
Because I remember, you know, my
family... Is this Louisville you're talking about?
Remember, our family friends were the Savages.
Yeah.
And they, I remember, they would only buy groceries. Yeah. And they would only go to his store, uh-huh, even after the big stores. Uh-huh. Instead of going there, they felt loyal to him, and they didn't think anybody should go anywhere else.
Didn't we go to Cobb's?
Yeah.
There was a Cobb's
dime store.
Dime store, yeah.
And did you ever go, and so, like, what kind of business was in here? Anything in Cobb-El?
Just to
the Gentry store and the Parker store.
And the post office.
And the post office.
Well,
and then,
first, you know, Kirkland's drugstore was there.
Yeah, that's true.
That was before we moved.
Yeah, it was. Uh-huh.
And the building stood there for a while.
Gentry's had the filling station on the corner,
On our
where
point.
I ran into the mirror on the...
That was
Arlene lived down here. Uh-huh. You didn't tell them about living down here. The parish.
Well, I said but we didn't ever... Well, it's next door to the coaches. Whenever I was a kid, we lived. My mother and daddy lived
next
there for
to the
a couple of years.
Now, was that in the? Was that that older house that was kind of?
No, it was a nice house.
Yeah.
Was it
the
one on the creek?
Eventually, lived in the house next door to it.
Okay. Yes, I remember.
Anyway, the parishes had this pear tree over on their side of the lot, where next to their driveway to their house. One night we went out and stole some of those pears. We just stole one each. Anyway, I ate mine. The next morning my eyes were swelled, nearly shut.
So
I had to go to school, of course, and we always had to meet at Gentry's on the corner down here. And he, that morning, he had this big old gasoline truck sitting there, and this long white, this mirror, you know, on the side, I ran right into it like to kill myself.
Oh, yeah, because you couldn't see
couldn't
it.
See it.
Now, when you say the Gentry's filling station, that was right here on our corner, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Next to the...
Across from Kirkland's house.
Yeah, well, next to the barbershop. Which
next to the barbershop. Not on our corner. Here.
No.
Not this corner. Okay, so that was...
Congress lived right...
Yeah,
but you're talking down by where the barbershop was.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, do you ever remember a bank here?
No.
I remember hearing about a bank here, but I don't
think there was one.
Uh-huh.
No, all there was, post office, two grocery stores, and Gentry's. Later on, they built that filling station across,
uh-huh,
right next to Kirkland's, I think. But that wasn't there.
Right. Now, that filling station... It was right there on that corner where the little barbershop is now.
Yeah.
Right. Because there used to be poles there that he would paint to look like a barber pole, but it was actually the pillars from that.
Well, it's on the corner of Bethel and Copwell,
right. That would be on the northeast corner.
Right.
Right next to the Harvilles.
Right.
House and the barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
Across from the Kirk, what we call the Kirk house.
The Baptist Church was next to Kirkland, Big Bang Baptist Church.
And the Methodist Church, of course,
across the street.
And you remember the Woods house? Now, the original Cobb-El school was there.
Is that
the
right?
The church, in there. As a matter of fact, I've always heard the rumor that the Woods house was built from the wood from that school when they consolidated and went to the one that you went to, and they built that.
That was built in 1928.
Yeah, and it's we have a picture when it burned, because much of it was brick.
It was.
And we have a picture of it. It's got 1928 on the top.
I cried and cried and cried when I heard that.
I know what that
was. I can remember. Well, if it burned, I think it burned in 49. I would have been 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember much about when I was that young, but I can remember us coming back from Dallas and stopping there for some reason, and there was a pile of sand there. And while they did something, I don't know what, talked or something, I played in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize now that it was when they were rebuilding. And I can still go in the room that was my first grade room. It's remodeled, of course, and looks entirely different. But I still remember that. I was going to ask you something you mentioned earlier, and I want to pass this up again. What about the honky-tonks? This would be down on Sandy Lake Road.
Oh, okay.
But
there weren't any here then.
Yeah. Which in those days it was Highway 77, right. Denton Road, actually.
Right.
What do you remember about the honky tonks? You said one of them was Elsie.
Shock Nelson.
Shock Nelson.
That was the high class one. We didn't.
All right, now help me know where that one was.
The one on the corner between
Denton Tap
and Sandy Lake, right there on the corner, on the northeast side.
Were the Ottingers?
Yes.
Okay.
No, was Midway.
Midway.
That was called
Midway. It was
Midway.
A grocery store,
restaurant,
filling station,
and honky tonk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And sort of, they had a few little food items. I'm thinking.
And it was. Was it
Midway?
Big?
It was kind of big.
It was pretty good size.
Wooden.
Yeah.
Wooden.
They were all wooden, I think, weren't they?
Yeah.
I think.
And you'd go in there and could buy groceries.
We bought
a few things.
Little items there.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And then the one.
But now, when you say it was a honky tonk, which means somewhere in there
they had a dance hall.
We had four honky tonks.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and this one had a dance floor.
Yeah, it had a dance floor.
And a drink bar.
Shot and Elsie.
No, Midway did.
I've heard that.
Yeah, they did.
And they had a jukebox?
Jukebox.
And you could buy beer?
I don't.
Or whatever?
Yeah, I guess. You know? We weren't of age.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I don't know what,
there's Midway. Then where was the next one?
Shot and Elsie.
Yeah, Shot and Elsie.
And
on the opposite side of the street.
Okay.
It was between, is that Hirsch?
Hertz,
Hertz. And?
Denton Tap.
So back in the woods.
So it would have been on the south side of South Sandy Lake.
Right.
Somewhere between Denton Tap and Hertz.
Right in the middle.
But off the road.
Not off the road, but it was in
there
the trees.
Parking in front of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And didn't they have some little cottages out at the back, kind of like a motel?
I don't remember.
Did it look bigger or smaller?
It seemed like to me there was a pretty good sized building, and they didn't have gasoline pumps or anything like that.
No.
That I know of.
It was just
It was just a honky tonk.
High class.
Yeah.
But high class. So it was a dance floor and a jukebox and a little better bar.
I kind of think that they did have some little motel rooms out to back.
Well,
I believe they did, too.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, of course, it was gone.
Yeah.
But there was a house there that looked like what you're talking about.
A white frame.
Very small.
Mm-hmm.
And it was there for a long time. Now, do you remember any others?
Yeah.
I remember the one down where we used to...
Well, there was another one not too far from Shots and Elsie's. And it was called the Spanish Inn.
Yes. Johnny Dobeka talks about that.
Yeah.
Where was it?
It was on the same side as Shots and Elsie.
Was it all the way down to Moore Road? He claimed.
No.
No, it wasn't there.
No,
it wasn't that far down.
That was another one.
I've forgotten what that one was. What's that one down there?
I don't know, but that's where I learned to dance. With my sister and I got out there and danced to Pony Boy. It's kind of a waltz, man. Everybody stopped and watch Martha and I swing around. But we always got a hamburger and an RC Cola.
Hamburger
and RC Cola. That was a Saturday night. We'd go there and buy bread for a dime.
And this was the Spanish Inn.
I don't know where. I don't remember. I remember the name Spanish Inn, but I don't remember where.
So you think the Spanish Inn was closer to Shot and Elsie's?
Yes.
And then there's another one down from the one you're talking about.
Where Moore Road runs into...
Sandy Lake, on the southwest corner. And Johnny Dobeka claims that at one time he managed that.
Is there
his brother were managers of the honky tonk.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They all called it honky tonk. Now, I've always been fascinated by why exactly would honky tonks do that well along that strip?
It's because it was wet everywhere else.
Dallas County was wet? Was that it? Because this was Dallas County?
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. They sold beer. They didn't sell liquor.
They didn't sell hard liquor.
Just beer.
Just beer. But maybe it was because it was out in the country and was unincorporated.
Yeah, well, that was unincorporated there. Yeah. We weren't part of Coppell,
Of course, Coppell.
Our address was Coppell. Yeah.
Of course, Coppell wasn't incorporated until the 50s or something officially. But
then there was another one across the bridge.
Yeah.
At Sandy Lake and...
At the Carrollton Dam. Wasn't it at the Carrollton Dam just about?
Dam?
Well, you know, if you go far enough on Sandy Lake, there's the dam.
Oh, no. Yeah, there was a place there.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm talking about the one it's over here. Across,
so it was on
What's the name of that? Denton Tap.
Yeah.
Denton Tap, as you go over the bridge on the left.
Toward Carroll,
Louisville. That was the last
chance. Yes, do
the
last chance. So that was north of Denton Creek on Denton Tap,
right after
Denton Creek.
Mm-hmm. Right. I remember that now.
On the left, would be down on the, it'd be on the
west
side of Denton Tap, right after you pass Denton Creek.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've heard of it. Do you drop in? Does that ring a bell?
Maybe that's what it was.
No, I think the last chance. You know, that was the last chance where you got Denton County.
Right.
So.
And Denton County was dry.
Was it? That was it. So that's why they grew up a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right past it was the county line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And what else? What about churches in town? Of course, did you go to church with your mother over there?
Yeah.
And you went, man, to Grapevine and Louisville. So you never went to church here.
There were only two churches here.
We used to go on Sunday night, she and I.
Yeah, we'd go to the Holy Rollers.
We didn't. We went to the Methodist or Baptist.
Uh-huh. Well, they'd have those
tent
things. So we'd go to those and just sing our hearts out.
You remember going to the Tabernacle or the Rush Arbor?
I do.
That was behind the Baptist church, wasn't it?
See, we lived in that little house there when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. So you went there.
Yeah.
I can remember that.
Yeah.
I think they called it a brush arbor, didn't they? Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Tabernacle's what they
called it. I remember it being there.
Yeah.
Wasn't used, but I remember it when I was a kid. Yeah. What about other people in town whom you remember? Did you know the Harvilles?
Oh, yeah.
The Harvilles. That would be Floyd and Clayton.
Right. And we went to school with Floyd's brother, Richard.
Richard.
He graduated from high school the same year we did.
Mm-hmm. Really?
But he died.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Floyd had a twin named Frank.
Right.
I didn't know he had Richard. I didn't know that. Uh-huh. And then Clayton grew up here.
Uh-huh. She was a Plumlee.
Plumlee, And she was a railroad agent.
Uh-huh.
Now, do you remember ever being around the old railroad depot building? On the railroad? Or?
Not really. I don't remember.
We walked to school and go by there.
Yeah. We used to go and play on that railroad trestle some.
Oh, man.
Everybody did. Scary place, wasn't it? When you were little, anyway. And what about Grapevine Springs Park? Were you there?
Oh, my goodness.
All the time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They used to have ball games there every weekend.
Okay. Tell me about
it.
Tell me about it. What's your earliest remembrance? How old would you be when you first remember being in Grapevine Springs Park?
Well, actually, I think the first thing I remember about it was that we learned in school, and we were talking about this earlier today, about Sam Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You may know more about that than
we do now, but for a long time it was unknown.
Well, what?
But you learned about it.
Was there a battle there?
No.
There was a picture at school. There was a picture that I remember seeing.
Uh-huh.
And wasn't he wounded while he was there or something and sitting under a tree?
No, there's a picture of him sitting on a tree, but it's not really him. It's a drawing, I think.
Okay.
But no, he camped here for about 6 weeks beside a neat treaty with Indians.
Okay.
And then he left.
Okay.
Yeah. But he did camp there.
Okay. Do you remember where the monument was?
The Lions Club in Grapevine put up a monument down there in the ground.
It was right close to the spring.
And we still have it.
Wasn't it?
We still have it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And in those days, apparently Grapevine felt an affinity for this area. Today they don't, of course, but in those days they kind of claimed Great Bass Springs Park.
Yeah. Well, they would, every Halloween, they'd tear that sign down.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, if you're talking about the sign over the pillars. Tell me about the sign. What did it look like?
Iron across the head and just Grapevine Springs Park.
Did it arch?
Yeah, just like a little bit.
And that was over the pillars?
Not high.
Was it over, you know, there's two sets of pillars, one on Coppell Road over here and one down there at the main entrance.
Well, the main entrance is up here.
Well, there was a road that she went down through. No, there's pillars at both entrances.
It goes down to where there's, I guess it's Coppell's maintenance or something up there.
There's those, and then there's down
That's
here.
Where the ballpark was.
Right where you live, there are two pillars. And they're still there. They're all there. We're trying to preserve them. But there was a road, you know, originally that went through there.
Yeah,
and you could drive through.
But they can't do that anymore?
No, it's closed off forever. And, but you were down there playing in the park. Of course, it closed, and it became private property in about 19, right after the war.
Somebody grazed cattle in there for a while.
Well, it was owned by Webb Roberts.
Yeah.
And Webb Roberts is part of the family that's Webb Chapel down in Dallas. And he owned that, he built, I think, that house right there by the thing. And he would come out there on the weekends and stay there. And he owned that park. And when I was a kid, it was all closed off, but he preserved it.
Uh-huh.
And he kept it up. He mowed it. He repaired the bridges. And it looked like it did in the 30s when it was built until he died. And see, the story is when he died, he willed all that land out there
to
the Baptist Foundation. They wanted to develop it. But the city, in order to develop it, they had to expand Bethel Road to four lanes. And we opposed that because that's our history.
Yeah.
And we said, you're going to destroy our historical history. City Council turned him down. They were furious. And then they gave back 5 acres of the parkland, because they couldn't develop it from the floodplain.
Mm-hmm.
They gave that back to the city. The city gave it back to the county. The county restored it. And now the city runs it as a park.
Mm-hmm.
But then the city secretly bought all that land back from the Baptist Foundation. So the city owns all of this land here,
mm-hmm.
except they just now sold the land that fronts here, where my mother's house is, and down there toward the service center and the railroad. It's all been sold, ready for development along the road. But they still own all this back in here. There's going to be a senior citizen center back in there between here and Grapevine Springs Park. And they're going to keep it all wooded and everything. But big plans for this area down in here to not restore what it used to be, because there's not much to restore, but to make it look old-fashioned and fix it up and make it nice and things like that.
Well, so, I remember on Easter one Sunday, my mother made me this beautiful pink pleated top, and the skirt was pleated, little pleats all the way around. And a bunch of us, I don't know if they were boys and girls, down at the springs where the dam is.
Uh-huh.
And we'd walk across there, you know, while water was running out. And I fell and got that skirt wet, and I knew I was going to be killed when I got home. But there wasn't a pleat left in that skirt.
No.
But my mother took it, and she ironed those
skirts. She ironed them and put them back in, did she? I'm watching this recording.
Running out of time.
No,
we're running out of time.
So you had, you played ball games down there.
Mm-hmm.
And you, what, I remember Easter egg hunts?
Easter, everything. Yeah. We did it. That's the only place we ever went when we were little.
Really?
It wasn't just a bunch of kids playing ball. It was the guys from Grapevine would come over here and play another team. I remember Coppell people and Grapevine people. Do you remember whether Louisville or Carrollton or anything ever?
No.
I just always heard it was Grapevine and Coppell.
That's all. That's all I remember.
I don't think Louisville ever came.
I don't think so either.
And they're all
Can you just, when was the last time you were in the park? Have you seen it lately?
I went to the first dig.
Okay, all right, so you've seen it. What did the park look like in those days? What
the last time I remember it.
Well, when you were a kid, let's
say. Oh, it was always mowed. It's not like it is now.
Yeah.
There wasn't any rubbage or anything. I mean, it was always clean.
Always clean. And that dam was, now that dam is covered with trees, so it wasn't like, it was all open.
And
the water was real free.
Water was running all the time.
And we'd make cups out of our hand and drink the water.
You'd actually drink the water.
Now you wouldn't even stick your feet in.
It's
probably then it was as fresh as any water you could get.
And you remember the bridges?
Remember,
I think there were three of them.
Yeah, I don't remember how many, but I remember
the well or whatever it was.
Yeah, there was a well.
Now, what about restrooms? Were there toilets?
No.
I don't remember any.
Remember any?
I don't remember any.
And,
isn't it strange? I've never thought about that before.
I neither.
We weren't 80 then. I have a picture that shows some wooden outhouses down there.
Oh, is that right?
And we think that's where they were. But, you know, they could have been built in
tunnels. Yeah, that's true. Could have been temporary or something.
Yeah, something like that. Let's see, is there anything
else? There's a lot of courting done.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, I can tell you that from living there. There were lots of cars that went through there and by.
Really?
Some other things laying around.
Other things laying around.
Yeah.
Do you remember any special events down there? Any formal things, dedications?
No, I don't remember.
Nothing like that? It was just very much a party.
Everybody just went there.
You had picnics?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Who else did you know in town? Let's see.
You knew everybody.
Well, okay. We talked
Kenneth
about
McDowell.
Okay.
He was the same age as we.
Now, that would be Ruby McDowell's
son.
Okay. And he lived.
And we knew the parishes.
Okay. And there were several.
That boy, what was his name?
Bert Parrish.
Okay.
We knew the coach.
The Standifers.
Now that's the house that I was thinking about down here. That was
next
called
the
Standifer
coach.
House.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived here. They were here pretty early.
Now they were related to some of the Coppell people.
Harrison and people like that.
Maybe Harrison.
Okay. Now what about did you know the Moores?
Yeah. Now they lived in the house where your mother and granddaddy lived before.
That's where Martha Jo was born.
Where? Across next to the school?
And of course, her grandfather is the one who lived. That's where Moore Road came from. They owned a farm which is down to the lake, their North Lake down there.
There was in Ratliff. The preacher, what was that, Ratliff? That lived next to the school?
Uncle Tommy?
Was it Ratliff?
I remember because they went to church.
He was a preacher.
Yes, he was too. He was part preacher.
Well, now Theo Ratliff.
Oh, that's who it is.
Theo
Ratliff. Yeah.
But John Ratliff and his wife,
Florence,
and she was a pretty headstrong lady too.
Pretty strong-headed lady.
And I remember they were a force to be reckoned with in the church.
Yeah.
They went to church with us here in Coppell for a while.
Yeah.
And they lived in one of those houses right there, close to the school. Who else?
I had an aunt and uncle that lived Coppell Road before it turned.
Okay.
Over there, I had Agnes and something, Shram.
Warner?
Wilson, I guess. Yeah, Wilson.
What about
we knew the Corbins, we knew
Plumley.
All that lived down that one.
The Thompsons?
Yeah. Thompsons.
The Thompsons were Parrish.
What was the boy's name?
And Barton.
Menard.
Barton lived next door.
Well,
Maynard.
Oh, yeah.
We knew the Maynards.
J.T.
Maynard, And he's the one that built the first so-called street to have houses on it. That's now K Street.
That's where Martha Jo Their parents moved there?
Well, no, but it cuts through there. It was quite a crazy place because the road wasn't developed. The city didn't maintain the road to it, and he cut a road to there.
Well, there wasn't an incorporated city for so long,
no,
and then it was a very small area with not
many. He built a little brick house down there. It's still there.
Yeah.
And then other houses moved in, and eventually, long time later, the city kind of fixed the road and made it, because that's where Chick Welch lived, and there was a Wilson family. When I was a kid, there was the Monroe Wilsons and the Gibb Wilsons. Mm-hmm. They weren't related to us.
I remember those names, but I don't remember them after I left.
We knew the Fish. Is that their name? The Fish lived around the corner from McDowell's.
Yes.
You know how that road curved?
Yeah.
I don't remember that now.
Where that road curved right there, there was an old house there.
Yeah.
That I think Clay the Horrible grew up in.
Fisk.
Okay.
I do remember that name.
That
was very woody down there.
Yeah.
But
that's the only way we had to get certain or anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go back out that way to go up Lewisville.
Yeah. Right. You had to go out, make that jump. Back in there. What do you remember about cemeteries and funerals?
Well, my great grandparents are buried in that cemetery. Let me see, where am I?
At Historic Bethel? Off of Moore?
It's off of Moore.
Uh-huh.
Back, you go to the right on the street, and then you have to go through two big lots. There's houses, and it's back in there.
Oh, that's the, I think they call that the Bullocks, no?
Yes, it, I bet it is Bullock.
Bullock is the one that's behind that Martha Joe, that Mary Mosley kept up. That's still there, but the Moore Cemetery,
I guess it
is a family cemetery that's still there. We went out there one day.
Yeah.
At the historical
site. My daughter took a picture of that.
So that's your great...
Great grandparents.
I think you were with us that day.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah. Your great grandparents. Mm-hmm. And their names were?
Tom. T-H-O-M.
Tom.
Was that Grandma Tom in that picture the other night?
Uh-huh.
I wanted to ask you that. Yeah.
And the last name was it? Was
T-H-O-M.
It Tom Teedy? Or the last
no,
name?
No, that's their last name.
Last name was Tom. Okay.
Fred. I've got their passports up just when they came over.
Oh, how neat. Really?
Where did they come from?
Germany. Yeah, I'm full blade.
Wow. Well, I can't think of it. What other interesting facts can you think of that we should include?
Didn't y'all live one time where Claudine Hunt lived in that beautiful house off of Coppell Road? The set back in the woods, that big house. Did y'all live there?
Claudine, I don't even remember where she lived.
That's where she lived.
Okay. I don't remember.
I remember we at night before we went to bed, we had to go outside.
No bathroom.
But the house was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was a rock house.
And this was on Coppell Road?
Yeah, between...
Grace?
Yeah.
You don't mean near Charles.
Huh?
You don't mean near Charles.
Now that wouldn't be the house where the C.T. Waters lived, would it?
That name is...
It was a white stone house way off the road, off Coppell Road.
We didn't ever live in that.
Now there's a trailer court there.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, it's been there forever.
No, the members live at Lewisville, don't they?
Yeah, but they lived here for a long time in that house.
Yeah,
and they put in a junior rodeo there when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And they had a rodeo there, and then they moved, and then they sold it, and they put in this called Golden Triangle, I think.
He
wasn't. My mother knew her. She's still alive. Uh-huh. And they're kin to the Waters. And they're kin, aren't they kin to Woods, Herschel Woods?
Yeah. Oh, they are.
I don't know, but it seems like they are. And the Woods, somebody still owns that feed store in Grapevine. That's, I don't know, somehow.
You're not talking about the Herschel Woods.
Well, yes, and Herschel was Ida Mae's husband. Because Ida Mae went to church with us a lot. Yes, and Hearst, did Hearst own that feed store in Grapevine?
No, he owned the mechanic.
In Grapevine?
In Grapevine.
Well, I didn't know Herschel that well. We knew Ida Mae.
I did. He used to take me. He'd sort of twice as old as I, but he didn't have a girlfriend or anything at the time. He took me with him to Grapevine. I mean, he never did it. He never made love or anything. We were just close friends, and my brother bought his Ford.
Now, ladies, I want you to tell me again about the movies. You used to go to the movies.
Right.
And, Marley, can I get you something to drink?
Oh,
water?
No, thank you.
Anything?
No, thank you.
You went to the movies where?
At Grapevine. The first movie that I remember going to there was, do you remember that it was a, when you walked up some stairs to do it. You don't remember that?
No. This was all flat where I went.
Yeah, and it's where the movie still is now. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I remember the one before that. And I don't remember what happened to that, but I think it's right there where that bank, there's a bank there now, if I'm not mistaken.
And you went upstairs?
Well, you didn't go upstairs. You walked up to get up to the ticket office to get into the theater.
The front. Okay.
Yeah, that bank they built after we quit going there. You don't have to cross from the drugstore?
No.
That bank?
No, this is on the same side as the drugstore. Well, there's a little side street, and I don't know what it is, but it's on the same side that the theater is now.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember but one theater.
Yeah, there was one there.
I think it was
one
called
time.
The Palace.
Yeah.
It is now.
Yeah.
And you'd go there, like what, on the weekends?
Whenever I was just real young, with my family, we'd just usually go on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And there was a double feature.
Mm-hmm.
Western and something else. And you also got to see the news.
All the news.
Uh-huh.
The newsreel.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And do you remember any movies, names of movies?
I think that we saw Frankenstein the first time there, because I remember the glasses.
Did you wear glasses?
Special glasses.
Was it 3D?
3D.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
really? Oh, yeah. Fancy.
Well,
yeah.
Gone with everything.
Gone with the wind.
Dick Tracy.
Gene Autry.
Spencer Tracy movies and Gene Autry and
Lots of Western. For a dime.
Uh-huh. Did you think you used to go almost every week?
Every weekend.
Yeah, just about. And then we got to where we would go on Tuesday night, and they had bank night. They called it bank night on Tuesday night. And they'd take your ticket stub and put it in a hopper.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Buckner owned, I don't know whether he owned this one down here, but that other theater, Mr. Buckner owned it that had the grocery store. There used to be a Buckner's grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And they had roll that thing around and pull out, draw out tickets, and I can't remember what all the prizes would be. I don't know whether it was a money prize or what, but they used to have prizes, and they'd call it bank night.
Bank. So. And speaking of banks, did your family use a bank?
Mine used the one in Louisville.
Yeah. My mother and daddy used the one in Grapevine.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the bank here in Coppell. I don't remember when it happened. The only thing I've heard about the bank here is that it went broke during the Depression.
It actually quit before the Depression. It was even worse than that. It didn't do well.
It's an interesting thing.
I'd always heard about this bank, but could never find out anything about it. I was told by somebody like Clayton or somebody that it was a brick building and that it was right here where everything else was. One time I dug out one of my mother's pictures. It's around here somewhere. And it's me, barely a year old, in the backyard out here. And you can see behind it. It's winter. Snow is everywhere. And you can see behind it, right up where the post office was, this long, strange-looking building with snow on the top of it. And that was the bank. And I actually have sort of a picture of it. And I have a picture of what that drugstore looked like when I was about two. Over there, because it had stained glass. Of course, most of it had been broken out and everything, but stained glass. That was Minnie McGee's drugstore for a while. Yeah. The story was that didn't her husband get killed or something because a canister exploded or something?
I don't know.
She ran that drugstore, and that was a pretty fancy thing for Compton. But
well, we knew Clyde and Clyde Parker and
Goldie.
Mm-hmm. His brother?
No, his brother was
it was Clyde Parker, Bobby Parker.
Bobby was his son.
No, that one, Herbert was Clyde's son.
Yeah.
Herbert and Benita was Clyde's family.
And then
I cannot remember, what was that other Parker? And they went to church with us at Grapevine.
Well, Clyde ran the post office. The brother ran the grocery store next to it.
Well, at one time, Clyde ran the grocery store.
When I was a kid, the postmaster was it Clyde Parker?
Mm-hmm.
Parker?
Yeah.
He was the one. And we have several pictures of him.
Uh-huh.
And we have pictures of, remember the old man who would sit out in front, Mr. Woods and Mr.
Tony Kirby.
Yeah, and they'd sit out and play dominoes in front.
Yeah.
And then when Mr. Les Schaefer bought the store next to the post office, he eventually decided they couldn't sit out there. So he built them. He made them move around behind it. There's a tree behind it, and they played behind there.
Hmm.
And he eventually built them a little domino hall, a little building that he built for them to move them out.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of these old men sitting out in the front, you know.
Well, that was a nice way to try to do it without antagonizing one.
And he was very generous. He lived in Farmers Branch, but he ran that store. And when I was in high school, he and his wife ran that store. And we went there. Now the Cosby's on the one. Now a Cosby, and I can't remember her husband's name, but they ran the one across the street, which is now the deli up here. But they ran that one. And my mother always bought groceries in Carrollton.
Uh-huh.
She'd go once a week and buy from the A&P.
A&P. Uh-huh.
But she'd always buy what we call junk.
Uh-huh.
She'd buy loaves of bread and milk. Uh-huh. Well, no, we had the Borden man.
Yeah.
He'd come to your house and put milk in your refrigerator.
And my grandkids, they can't imagine stuff like that.
Oh, no. But we always felt guilty because we didn't go to the Cosby store, too. But you couldn't very well patronize both of them.
Yeah.
And Schaefer's store was always much better kept up and more well-stocked and stuff like that. But all we bought there was
just kind of
bread and candy and that junk. And my parents were very concerned that for some reason they would let us go up there and buy drinks and candy and stuff like that, as long as they knew we were doing it. And you'd go in there and you'd say, I want this. And Mr. Schaefer would write it down. And once a month, we'd pay the bill.
Uh-huh.
You know,
where was it?
This is the store that's still there.
Where the deli is?
No, across the street.
Oh, across the street next to
the big
post office.
Uh-huh. And that was Schaefer's, finally, the last time it was a grocery store. But there were a lot of people that ran that. And there was this, we got a letter to the Historical Society one time that came to me from a girl who said that her parents ran that store, Mama remembered it, ran that store when I was very young. I think when I was probably only about 4 or 5. And she used to play with me. And they'd bring her up there, and she'd stay around the store while they'd run the store. And she was trying to trace down if that was the store and everything like that. So I was able to tell her what I remembered of it.
Yeah.
But I know the Moores ran it at one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grandma, what's her name?
Tom.
Tom and
what was her?
Marty Jo's.
It was an L, didn't it?
I can see her, but
I can't.
Marty Jo's parents. Tom and she was. She was another one.
She was sort of a character.
She was a character, too.
Yeah.
I can remember when they were much older, and I'd go up and try to sell them newspapers, and she'd open the door, you know. They weren't very kind. But anyway.
Well, what was her name? I cannot remember.
I can see her.
Tom and... I think it wasn't, no.
But I think it won't come to me right now.
Do you ever remember a lumber yard in Coppell?
I don't.
I think that was before your time. I've always heard
it was hardly anything when we were
here. I think the Moores ran a lumber yard for a while.
There was a lot of things.
Well, I think it was a pretty, you know, even at the time when the gin ran. Now, I do remember when the cotton gin ran.
And that was right
yeah.
over here. What do you remember? It's a big thing.
Yeah, it was.
There was more than one gin here. But
was
the
there
main
I,
one,
that's all I remember
in the
one.
Late 40s and 50s, it was that mm-hmm. big one. And you remember it ran. And,
yeah, I do. Uh-huh.
And people,
the Kirklands ran it, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah. And they...
And the foundation
yeah, and, mm-hmm. and somebody built that little stone house.
That
was
the that was belonged to one
mm-hmm.
of the Kirklands.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't that belong to? You mentioned the
Laura Faye.
But
Laura Faye lived there.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think they built it. She,
okay.
she told me they lived there when I was very young.
Okay.
Because they had a son Terry,
uh-huh.
who was 2 years older than I was,
mm-hmm.
and he loved trains.
Yeah.
And they eventually moved over there on what's now airport land.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones who bought the last little railroad depot building we had. It wasn't the original,
uh-huh.
but the railroad was selling it, and they bought it for $50 or something, and they had a chicken farm over there.
Uh-huh.
And they moved it over there, and half of it was for candling eggs, and the other half was they had a run where Terry, their son, kept model trains.
Oh.
And I remember being there.
Yeah.
He was a friend of mine. Up until maybe 12 or something,
uh-huh.
and I remember being over there. But and that building stayed there until it just fell apart,
mm-hmm.
and that was part of our history. What a shame!
Yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm. you know I met my aunt Bertha's daughter today in Grapevine and had lunch with her,
mm-hmm.
and we met at across there was a Baptist church across the street from my grandmother's house,
mm-hmm.
and we met. In that parking lot, that Baptist church parking lot, because neither one of us knew enough about Grapevine to say, well, we'll eat it,
uh-huh.
you know. And it was so sad to see that house. It's nobody's living in it. It's just falling down.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, I recognized the shape of it immediately,
uh-huh.
but it was so sad to see that.
Well, my mother used to talk about when they went to church over there.
Uh-huh.
There was a you remember where the church building was?
Yeah.
It was on, was it Church Street?
No, I don't think it was.
College?
I thought about that today, and I kind of wish, you know, I was married in Ollie and Janie's house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Charles and I were married there.
Hmm.
And, you know, they came to our 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh,
really? What do you remember about the Great Main Church? What did it look like? Was it a big building, a little building?
I thought it was big at the time. At the time, now it's not big.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't hold over 150 without being pretty crowded, do you think? The church at Grapevine?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would. I remember that it didn't have stained glass, but it had colored glass windows. And when I was a little bitty kid, I thought that was the prettiest thing. And one time, you know, Charles and I lived in an RV and traveled for 13 years before he died.
Mm-hmm.
And one time we went to a church in, I can't remember the name of the town right now, I might in a minute, but it's in Pennsylvania. And we had that church, that book that lists all the churches of Christ. And when the first time we get in place, we'd look up where we were going to church
right.
Sunday.
We did too.
yeah. And we went up there, and we'd always get there early because you didn't know whether you were going to find it real easy or not.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that time we didn't. By the time we quit, we had a computer, and we could call it up and
really?
See where it was. But we didn't have that then,
uh-huh.
and we just had to look on the maps and, you know, and
mm-hmm.
try to go from that way. And so we'd always get there pretty early.
Uh-huh.
So you'd be done time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove up there, and we started looking at this building, and it was made out of stone, a very pretty building, and had the most beautiful stained glass windows. I thought about that when you said about that building didn't look like a Church of Christ
mm-hmm.
building.
Uh-huh.
Most beautiful stained glass windows you've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
And Charles says, are you sure that that's the address this doesn't look like Church of Christ? Well, they have a sign out.
How are Church of Christ supposed to look?
Well, they're not very ornate.
They're
usually.
Really very plain because Church of Christ people believe that the church was not, the building wasn't important.
Mm-hmm.
So you shouldn't, you didn't call it a sanctuary
uh-huh.
or anything like that. And a lot of the older churches wouldn't even have classrooms or restrooms or,
yeah.
or anything because it was supposed well, that, to be.
Now,
know.
See, they did have outdoor toilets there at Grapevine, but they didn't have classrooms for years. They mm-hmm. built some classrooms on
mm-hmm.
later,
mm-hmm.
maybe when your dad was an elder.
Yeah.
When people saw our Texas license plate, they immediately came to us.
Oh, yeah.
And we found out that that church was across the street from a hospital, uh-huh. and that this congregation, and I've forgotten what it was, it might have been a Lutheran church or something.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, they had needed more room, and they wanted to sell their building, and they gave the Church of Christ a really good deal on it. This hospital was willing to pay more money for it, but they wanted to tear it down for a parking lot.
Uh-huh.
And they did not. They wanted that building maintained, and the every window in that building was a lead glass window.
Yeah.
And after we got inside, that between Sunday school and church, I asked them if I could take pictures. They let me take. I've got a picture. I think I gave it to Sammy that I have pictures of those. It's a collage of pictures of those windows.
Uh-huh.
They are just beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And several years later, we were up there again, and we went back to that same congregation, and they were having trouble with those lead glass windows because it's very expensive to repair them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they were having, to make some decisions about
what to do. Our funny story, because we were like you, anytime we went on vacation, Anthony, that's the first thing you did. You planned
right.
your vacation. Now, Juanita may not understand this because her churches were different. But you knew where you were going to be.
Yeah.
At least on Sunday morning.
Right.
And our funny story about churches, because we traveled quite a bit
right.
in summer, was much later, after my father was gone, I liked to go to New York a lot. And one year, my mother and maybe it was Janice, we were up in Washington, D.C. It was Sunday, so we needed to go to church. We looked it up in the phone book, and we knew where it was, and we drove there, and it looked more like a house. It was in a residential area. And we got there real early. Nobody was there yet. And we went up, and there it was, and there was a sign and everything. So we raided around, and it was an all-black church.
Okay.
I mean, really, and a lot of blacks in Washington, D.C.
Oh, man, I tell
And I can remember, I was going, oh, let's don't go. I think they said, whatever it says, you make, let's go. And so we went, and they were so friendly.
Uh-huh.
It was a huge building, but God, I bet there weren't more than 40 people.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
And they did the screaming and the hollering.
They got that whip
But they were the nicest things in the world,
yeah.
you know.
And we
were the only white people
yeah,
there, believe
yeah.
me. The only ones.
We had a thing kind of like that happen pretty shortly after Charles died. We decided that we would, all our family would go to Galveston for, I guess everybody was on vacation, I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with Sarah and Philip and the girls, and Sammy came by himself, and Steve and Ann and their kids came another. But we decided to go on Saturday and spend Saturday night in Houston because they had heard about something at the Museum of Natural Arts about a butterfly display that they wanted the kids to see. So we located a church Saturday night after we got there, and, well, Sunday morning we couldn't find that church for anything. So we were driving down, and I said, well, Phil, there's the Church of Christ. Well, he had already passed it, and we got that. He said,
that's the way I drive.
He said, now, Grandma, he said, that is a black church. Will that bother you to go there? And I said, no, it won't. I'm telling you, those girls, they had the best time. And like you said, we got there, and they had class inside the auditorium, so we sat back at the back when they were having class, and we just stayed there for church.
Uh-huh.
But all those women talk about dress. They were dressed to the nth degree.
Oh.
All of them had hats on, and
big hats.
Sydney says, "Grandmother,
look at that one. It looks like a cake.
Yeah. They still do that.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is just business.
Oh.
Side.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God.
But you talk about singing now. They had,
oh,
they had good
songs. But they don't sing by the book. And we were lost.
Oh, no.
They just sing anything they want to.
Is that you know, right?
Yeah, they do it anyway.
Well, they have a little rhythm, too.
Yeah, they have a little rhythm, too.
But it's from the heart.
Now, speaking of church, tell us about your congregation. Church was a German-based
right.
church, wasn't it?
Right.
It was actually, it was the United Church of Christ.
That's what it is
yeah,
now.
Yeah. That was the name of it that I remember.
No, it's Evangelical Reform.
And the Evangelical Reform.
That's what
and
the one up there.
What was it like? What was your church like when you went over there?
Kind of, well, still is,
mm-hmm.
like that. We're kind of formal, like
mm-hmm.
the Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
We're a break off of the Catholic
mm-hmm.
and the Lutheran, and then a Schweitzer Swingle or something. And then it became Evangelical and Reformed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we merged with the Congregational Church. And that's when they changed the name to United Church of Christ. That's what it is now.
Uh-huh.
And of course, we're very open. Anybody.
Uh-huh.
I mean, any, you know.
Uh-huh. Do you still go? You still have
gay people, everything.
You still have a congregation you go to?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go to St. Paul.
Where is
that?
No.
It's on Lover's Lane and Fisher Road. Did you know where the Medallion Center used to be there?
Yeah.
It's right there in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Still well, when I married my second husband, he didn't like people I liked. So he wouldn't go to church there, so I started going back, and I drove all the way to Round Grove.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he died, I went back to my church where all my friends were.
Well, that's interesting that there's still a congregation there.
But we are...
And you live in Farmers Branch, right?
I live in Dallas. I have a Farmers Branch zip code.
Yep.
I live south of LBJ.
Oh, okay. And Marlene, you live in San Antonio,
mm-hmm.
right? With... Do you live close to... I know, but who's the closest?
Sarah.
Sarah's closest.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And gosh, I never saw Steve or Sam. Sam, do you call him Sam? Or?
I call him Sam now.
Don't think I probably ever saw them after we were 7 or 8 years old.
Well, you know, of all my kids, I never thought that Steve would be the one that came back and lived at Louisville.
Does he live there now?
Yeah, he lives there. He came
Highland
back.
Village.
Yeah.
No, Highland Village.
He came back there. Well, I know Ruby Nell knows, and I don't know whether you know or not, but their son had cancer when he was 6 months old.
I remember something about that.
Well, he was being treated. Charles had already retired then, so we were able to help them during that time. And he was being treated at Santa Rosa, and they lived, he's fixing to retire, for customs.
Uh-huh.
And he worked at the border at Laredo.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to bring him up to San Antonio, to Santa Rosa, for his cancer treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So we would meet, every 3 weeks, we would meet them down there and take, Steve would bring them up there, and we took our RV down there, and we would keep them for the week and take them back and forth to the hospital for his treatment. And then on Friday, we would take them back to Laredo.
Uh-huh.
And he had been having treatments from April till September. And let me see, that was 84, I guess.
That purse over there, that orange.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hand it to me?
And,
I'm about to let stuff fall out.
And he could transfer. He got a hardship transfer to get up here.
Uh-huh.
To DFW.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been there ever since. Uh-huh. And Ann teaches school there at Bushville High School, where he graduated from high school.
Really? Yeah, I think I did know there.
Uh-huh.
What does he teach?
Uh-huh. What does she teach?
No,
what,
yeah.
Special ed.
Special ed.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah's a teacher, too, my Sarah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She has a real aunt that, my cousin said today, she said, well, that has to be really good to teach like that. She has a creative writing class, and then a lot of her students are gifted and talented, so she does have good classes.
Well, she's got a great family.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
They're pretty good guys.
She has.
Yeah.
I have too, but
yeah.
Her daughters are sweet as they can be.
Yeah, but your family's so much closer than we are.
Well, we just live closer.
Sometimes you're lucky.
Yeah.
Lucky like that.
They're going to have me a big birthday party. I got to go to hers Saturday, her 80th birthday.
80th birthday.
And I'm going to have one in January.
Oh, wow.
So.
I'm going down there.
Yeah.
Right. Really a milestone birthday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yours tomorrow is 85?
Hell, I can't believe you're 85.
I didn't either. She's doing
well. I knew she was a year or two older than I was.
Yeah, I didn't think she was 5 years old.
I didn't
older
either.
Than
let me ask you one last question for the recording. What do you remember? Do you remember anything of, since you lived here when my family was here and everything, what do you remember of anything else of my mother, of my father, anything like that? Do you remember anything about them?
Well, I just know I remember Willis helping my mother anything she needed. what was it about that little ditch out here? Still there.
Yeah. You'd have to dig
there was
out.
Something about it. I think that he would mow his side of the ditch and we mowed our side of the ditch.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. We had, because there was the lot. We called it the lot.
Yeah.
Oh, that was hers.
Yeah.
And then ours. Yeah. I can remember. Sometimes mowing it, I can't. But we'd mow it, to the middle of the ditch? Is that what we'd do?
I don't think so. I think y'all mowed it to your side. The ditch is lonely about this.
Yeah.
But you can see it. It's still out there.
Still out there. Yeah.
I think the thing that I remember most was when Dove died.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
I remember that so vividly.
My mother was at my house.
Tell us about what you remember about that.
That
would have been when I was only,
you
51 or 2, wasn't it?
I don't know what year it was, but.
I've got it down.
I remember Reuben Allen and I talked about it, and I hadn't. It had been too long before that my grandpa had died, and we talked about that. She talked about at that time that when my grandpa died that y'all hadn't had anybody in your family.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about that again. I came here and helped serve dinner that day.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that. And I just never will forget how I felt about Betty being by herself with a small baby.
Well, my mother was.
They were living next door.
Yeah. Uh huh.
To your mother.
Uh-huh. Oh, is that right?
In that little house on the other
uh-huh.
side.
Oh.
When he was killed. Of course, he was killed in what, Louisiana?
Yeah. How is Betty?
She's fine. Would you believe she lives in Grapevine?
Yeah.
You know they're rich as creases.
Uh huh.
But, well, we never see them. She talks to them every once in a while. Our family has grown apart.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason is because they all have their own families.
That's right.
But we used to have reunions and things we never
mm-hmm.
have anymore. But the last time I heard, her mind was going a little. And, you know, her two sons and daughter, sort of, they look after them.
She went to school with Doug's
Ted.
Uh-huh, at Abilene. Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, my mother was at my house when Deb was killed.
Yeah.
And I came home from work, and there was a guy I worked with that rode with me, and he would come to the house, and then his wife would pick him up. And so we were talking, and we were watching television, and oh, she was fuming in there, and I didn't know it. And finally she says, come here, told me to come here, and she says, I've got to go. We've got to go back to Coppell. And I said, what's the matter? And she said, well, Debbie's been, it's not Debbie, it's Dub. Debbie is your son.
Right.
Dub has been killed in a car accident. And gosh, we sat down to eat, but I don't think anybody ate finally, but we came, man, we had to get her out here that night.
Really?
Yeah. I will never forget.
I remember
that.
When your mother.
You know, I dated Dub a time or two.
Did
you? Not many times, but a few times we dated.
I don't remember him that well. I remember him from home movies.
Yeah.
But that's the only way I knew him.
Dub and I were so close.
Yeah.
What about her sister?
Julen.
Uh-huh.
Julen died just.
Hadn't been long.
The summer.
Is that right?
She was 90.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my
something.
God.
Yeah.
90 something. She hadn't been well, but, not catastrophically.
Yeah.
So we didn't. It was unexpected, but, it was a tragic thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know this. Again, we had drifted apart, and she would call Mom and her, would talk on the phone, but she was being looked after James looked after her. And see, James's wife died, five or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so James sort of looked after her, but she was very independent, and
she
had her own money.
She never married, did she?
No. But, she was another black sheep. I would love to have interviewed her, because she had, stories about.
Yeah.
But, and where she got her money,
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, she died a pauper.
Oh,
and I didn't know
until
she died. I was in New York when she died. I had gone to New York. And I didn't get to come back for a funeral. But James told me that sometimes she always, in the latter part of her life, she had somebody living with her to look after her, and she paid them to live there. And she was generally successful at getting somebody who was really good and cared for her. But the last family she got, man and a woman and a son or something, evidently took advantage of her. And even James didn't know it. And she wouldn't let on. And this woman blackmailed her and forged checks, took all the money she had in the bank, and then managed to get a hold of some of her investments, and then actually managed to get possession of her house.
Sold
the house out from under her. And when he discovered it, he filed charges.
Uh-huh.
He was always very litigious, illegal. And he filed charges, and he managed to get back the house.
Good.
But he never was able to press charges. They're still out there cheating somebody.
Oh, that's infuriating.
She died almost without a cent. And she had, fortunately, he got enough money that she lived fine until her death. But if she had lived much longer, we'd have taken her in, but we didn't know it. We didn't even know it. And he didn't either.
Yeah.
And you know how he found out? The bank called him one day.
Oh.
And they said, Mr. Harlan, there's your sister is here with somebody, and they're trying to change all the signatures on her checking account. And they said, yours is on there, but he never signed checks. And they said, we were suspicious. And he stopped it immediately, and they went running.
Uh-huh.
And he even had evidence against them. The checks that they forged and things like that, had it in a safe in her house. And after they died, they managed to get in the house and break in and got those documents. So he couldn't press charges against her.
But Tuesday before I came up here, I had all my week. I was going to do this day and this day, and I was leaving Thursday. On Tuesday, I happened to go in and turn my computer on, and I looked at a bank account that I had that was a brokerage account that is where I have my checking account. A hacker had gotten in and taken money from a savings account that I had and put it into a checking account. Well, Sarah is on my checking accounts and savings accounts. But I knew that if she was going to do it, she wouldn't do it without saying something.
Yeah.
And so I called the bank, and I couldn't, she was busy. And so it said to call the customer service number if it was an emergency, so I did. Mm-hmm. And somebody had tried to withdraw $4,100 out of my mm-hmm. checking account, and they stopped it. They wouldn't let them. But anyway, I spent about an hour and a half on the phone with her, and then I had to go to the bank and change all of my accounts and everything. And it is so easy for somebody to do something like that.
Well, I tell you, they've got safeguards in place now, but you have to be careful. Mama, it didn't happen to her bank accounts or anything, but this has been some time ago, but somebody tried to defraud her, like the con man came here and she wasn't really on top of it, and he got like a $1,000 check from her, and we didn't know about it, and we managed. I think we got a call from the bank because it was made out to him, unfortunately, and he was trying to cash it down here at the bank, and they called us, and we went, well, wait a minute, what, you know, and managed to. Well, it wasn't exactly theft because she, thought it was legitimate, but. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
You know, anybody can come to the door and do anything.
But how they ever got my password and everything?
Well, I had it.
I mean, these hackers.
I had my credit card call me up one day and say, somebody's been trying to charge $1.46 on your account. I said, what? And it was a siding company.
Huh.
And evidently they were trying to break into
right.
it. And then if they got $1.46, they'd and they caught it. And now, boy, your credit card company will stop things.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes very inconveniently. One time went to use a credit card, and they wouldn't let me, and I went, what? And I called them, and they said, well, we stopped it because we thought somebody was trying to steal something. And I thought, well, no, they weren't. It was me.
That happened to me up in Canada.
Yeah,
I started buying things, you know, everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And I remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Did you have to call them?
No, I didn't know what was happening. I just, what did I do? Start borrowing money?
You used another credit card, I think.
I did. But anyway, they wouldn't, I couldn't.
Couldn't use it.
But before that, I had lost my credit card and left it at a restaurant. And we were going to get on the boat at Victoria, you know, and go, not to Victoria. We were going to go to Victoria.
Yeah, we're going to the Shark Garden.
Yeah. Anyway, I left it at the restaurant. They were rushing me to get on the boat. get on the bus. And anyway, when we got to the ferry, I was going to buy some things there. And there I didn't have my credit card. And that was the first thing. And then the further I got, I started buying things on another credit card, and they stopped that. I think I started borrowing money from you or something. I was glad.
When I went to Europe 2 summers ago, I made a point of calling my credit card company.
They say it's a good thing to do.
And tell them that you're going to, and they say it's a good thing you called because we would have been suspicious and stopped it. And it's very inconvenient to do that.
One time when we were traveling, we had somebody compromise our credit card. And I have had it happen one time since Charleston.
Don't you want to turn this thing off?
Probably will.
They were trying to buy $7,000 worth of recreational stuff.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
I was going to tell you, I remember your mother had cataract surgery one time. Do you remember
mm-hmm.
that?
Yeah.
In those days, cataract surgery was
very serious.
It was very serious.
At, wasn't that downtown hospital? Yeah. Medical Arts.
Uh-huh.
Medical Arts. Yeah. That's where our doctor was.
And she had to lay 2 days
without
moving.
And I remember Mama going over there and taking her food or something, I don't know. I remember everything stopped to look after, you know,
your
mother. Or not. We didn't look after her that much, but to be there.
You did.
She needed. I can remember as a kid she had a car, and I think she only used it to go to church or something, but she kept it in that garage.
Yeah.
And
I remember
her sewing.
Yeah.
And her house was always spotless.
Yeah,
I was not in it a lot. But
she had it clean all the time, even though it was so old. when we sold the house, the floor, the people that were living there, they were paying $150 a month for rent. But anyway, I think the floor was fixing to fall in. And,
well, I tell you, those floors were beautiful.
Huh?
Those floors were beautiful when.
Remember her front porch was painted gray. Spotless. Well, I'm going to turn off the recorder.
Yeah.
But ladies, you've been wonderful, and I want to tell you that 100 years from now, this is going to be in the archives, and they're going to hear about Marlene and Juanita
and the fairs.